Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. So here's something we don't often get to say in the state of Michigan. We are flush with cash, and Governor Gretchen Whitmer wants to spend a lot of that cash over the next 12 months. Right now, we have a $7 billion budget surplus here in Michigan. I'm going to say that again. We have a $7 billion budget surplus. And that's thanks to federal pandemic stimulus funding, as well as our booming economy, which is driving up state revenues from sales taxes, income taxes, and a lot of other sources. So the governor wants to make historic investments with that money in everything from public education to roads and infrastructure to criminal justice reform and a lot of other social programs. But the governor doesn't just want to spend that money. She's also asking for some other things like targeted tax cuts for retirees and low-income Michiganders, something she talked about in her State of the State address. Republicans, on the other hand, want more wide-reaching tax relief, and that will set up a pretty interesting dynamic heading into this pretty big election year here in Michigan, where the governor will stand for re-election and much of the legislature, of course, is up as well. Here to talk about what the governor's budget request looks like and the politics of all of it is someone we turn to pretty often to help us make sense of these things. Zach Gorchow is the publisher and executive editor of the Gongward News Service in Lansing. Zach, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, Stephen. Good morning.
So I want to start with something you tweeted on Wednesday. And I want to say something before we even get into this conversation. If you're listening and you want to know about the details of the governor's budget proposal, if you want to know as much about it as possible, you really do need to go and take a look at what Gongwer was doing, not just at its site on Wednesday, but on social media as well. I think it's not an overstatement at all to say that it was the most comprehensive coverage that I saw. But Zach, you tweeted one wow after another while reading through the budget recommendations. What were the biggest wows for you? And I'll say, you've been covering state government for a really long time. I've been around a long time. I saw all kinds of eyes popping on Wednesday. I don't think any of us had ever quite seen a budget proposal like this one.
No, you're absolutely right, Stephen. So what got me to tweet that was, you know, some 20 plus years of tracking state budgets. And usually you look at the department by department budgets, and it's a 1% increase here, a 3% increase there. If it was a 4% increase, you might be like, oh, that was a good year for that department. And looking at the governor's proposal to see 10%, 20%, 30%, 60% increases, if you look at just the general fund monies, which are state revenues only, if you you factor out federal monies, some departments, 80%, 90% increases, your just head is spinning. But it's because of what you said, which is that there is this $7 billion windfall, mm-hmm. and the governor is determined to invest that money in a variety of ways and not just leave it on the balance sheet going forward. So it is extraordinary. I said to our staff, hey, everybody saddle up as I was looking through this, because there's a number of departments that usually you look at them and you could summarize what happened in two sentences. And I said, there aren't going to be any departments like that. Every department's got something huge in it. So it's extraordinary.
Yeah. So I want to talk sort of generally about the process for this and the response, I guess, that you might anticipate from the legislature, where, of course, Republicans are in charge of both chambers. The idea of spending this money in this way. Now, lots of people have been talking about being careful with this kind of windfall, because if you build it into the recurring parts of the budget, then, of course, in out years, you're going to have to go and find that money elsewhere. And you are not going to find this kind of money again, likely anytime soon. So I want to have you forecast just a bit what the push and pull will be between her and the legislature over this. Does this budget proposal avoid some of those pitfalls that people have been talking about, building new spending permanently into the budget? And even if it does, is that likely the pushback that you'll get from Republicans, who of course have their own ideas and have a lot of things that they want to get done this year as well?
So most of these large increases are not built into the base of the budget. They're designated as quote unquote one time, meaning, for example, the idea that the state is going to build a new psychiatric hospital. It's a $325 million item. That's a big item, but you only have to spend that once. It's not an ongoing recurring item. Or the governor creating a $1 billion fund for school infrastructure. You put that $1 billion in once, theoretically it doesn't go on. So the governor and her staff feel confident that this is a budget that, while it does push an enormous amount of money out the door, is not going to create expectations into future years that this is going to continue. Now, the counter to that is, if you look at, for example, areas like higher education, K-12 schools, revenue sharing to local governments, community colleges, which all would see, really substantial increases for relative to what they usually would get, that once you do that once, it is hard to then get that money back somehow. So, for example, the universities would get effectively a 10% increase under this budget proposal, but half of that is considered one time. A cynic or a skeptic would say, yeah, good luck in the following year trying to reclaim, some of that 5% you gave away. That's just not going to, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're going to be expecting that to continue. So that's one piece of it. I think for the Republicans, there will be, of course, as you always say, the governor proposes, the legislature disposes. And as the governor herself would say, this is a statement of her values, and it's all a negotiating point. They know that the Republicans are not going to agree to this budget, but they're hoping they'll be able to find somewhere in the middle. And we already heard from the Republicans. This is a lot of money to be pushing out the door. Republicans will probably want to leave some of it on the balance sheet. They'll probably want to put more into tax cuts. They'll want to put more into the budget stabilization fund. They'll want to put money into paying down debt. But there's so much money available. It's one of those situations where it's hard to imagine they won't be able to make everyone happy somehow, and especially because they showed last year they could do just that. The challenge, of course, is that it is an election year, and there's going to be some heartburn about handing the governor a number of election year victories. That being said, it's the budget. They've got to get it done. And again, as I said, it's hard to imagine they won't be able to find somewhere in the middle to land on all this.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Zach Gorchow. He's publisher and executive editor of the Gangwon News Service. In Lansing, we're talking about Governor Gretchen Whitmer's election year budget proposal, which she made this week to the legislature. Give us a call. Let us know what you think of this $74 billion budget proposal. Do you think it's smart for the state to spend so much of the money that we have on things like public education, social programs, roads, lots of things? Almost everything in the budget seems to be getting a boost of some kind. Do you think it would be wiser maybe to save some of that money or use it to pay down debt to other things that that could be done with that kind of windfall? What questions do you have about what the governor is requesting in this budget, and what do you think the Republican response is likely to be to these ideas? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page, put comments there, or go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation that way. Zach, I want to talk specifically about public education, which I think is kind of the centerpiece, perhaps, of these increases, not just K-12, but also higher ed. Let's start with the increase to the foundation allowance to school districts, a pretty big increase, and something that people have been talking about for a long time. School districts have been begging for this kind of thing. The governor says it's totally possible now.
Yeah, a 5% increase. This is the basic per student amount for operations in the state school districts. Every district's going to get $435 more per student. You know, we've had up until the last couple of years, we've had year after year of barely inflationary increases for school districts. Of course, inflation is a little higher this year. Nonetheless, a 5% increase is quite a bit more than what school districts are accustomed to having seen for a very, very long time. So it's going to allow school districts to try to, do some things with teacher salaries. One of the challenges the school districts have had with all this windfall of federal money that's come in is what to do with it exactly, because they can't go out and hire a bunch of people with it. The money is one time, it'll be gone, here today, gone tomorrow, so you can't build in long-term expenses. But this is the kind of thing, you do build long-term expenses on. And it's challenging right now because, teachers are burned out with the pandemic, leaving in the middle of the school year. I know it's, my seventh grader, her math teacher up and left a few months into the school year for a different district. It's a challenging time, and so they need to do some things to try to stabilize the workforce.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. You can also go to social media, put comments there. Zach, before we get to the phones, which are starting to fill up, I want to talk about higher ed as well. We have been disinvesting in higher ed for a really long time in Michigan. Everybody has been talking about that, including the business community, which is really frustrated that it is not able to attract people to Michigan and to keep people in Michigan with, the promise of a robust higher education system. That they get a big bump in this proposal as well.
Yeah, it's a 10% year-over-year increase, as I mentioned earlier. 5% of that is considered one time, so there's no guarantee that half of that would continue into following years. But nonetheless, there hasn't been an increase like this in about since the late 90s, when we had the big run-up with the stock market for higher ed. It's really been a 20-year story of either very minimal increases or, in some cases, bad years, pretty significant cuts to the public universities and what they get from the state. And so I'm, along with this is the usual language that universities have to hold down their tuition increases to qualify for the increase. And universities have in some ways really, they're in some trouble right now because, you look especially, MSU, U of M and Wayne State are generally, doing okay. But you look at some of the other universities, because the high school population in state continues to decline. Mm-hmm. The enrollment booms of the 2000s are really gone. And so there are some concerns about, finances going forward for many of our public universities in the state. And so this is really the first time in a long time that the state of Michigan is looking to potentially really step up its contribution to them in a significant way.
Yeah, yeah. I want to read a couple of social media comments. Emmy on Twitter says, please thank the Democrats because no Republicans in Congress voted for us to have this money. And it's our Michigan Republicans who have been sitting on the stimulus money for way too long. She would like to see money for water infrastructure in all communities. Jeff on Twitter says, could some of that money be used to restore the pensions for the city of Detroit workers who lost out as a result of the bankruptcy the city went through? It's an interesting question. Zach, I do want to talk a little about infrastructure, too. That's a big part of the investment here. Emmy asks about water infrastructure, but there are lots of other parts of our physical world that will get more money here.
Yes. So one, there is going to be a big water infrastructure bill. The Senate Republicans have already moved a very substantial package on that. It's really just a matter of the governor, the House, and the Senate finalizing what they want that to look like. But there's a very, a billion-dollar package coming on. Water infrastructure, something I think will be very well received by listeners in metropolitan Detroit. The governor is proposing a really substantial investment in the freeway pump station. How many times have we seen, major interstates in Metro Detroit flooded out with these big rain events in recent years because the pumping systems to pump that water out are old and are failing, and so, the freeway fills with water. I think everyone would be, I don't think there's a single person who wouldn't want to see those in mint condition and pumping the water out to keep our freeways clear. So there's a pretty big investment for that. Some of the federal infrastructure money that I think one of your callers was referencing would be deployed here. So the governor is, able, I believe, in terms of the Michigan Department of Transportation budget, it's not just roads, but it is mostly roads. I believe it's a $1 billion increase year over year, which is a very, very substantial increase in investment. And then I believe you also add on that there's the bonding money that the governor did for state roads. Those would be the interstates, the M routes, the U.S. routes. That is still coming online, and there's a whole lot of that that'll be coming into play this year as well. So if depending on how this goes, we could be seeing an awful lot of orange barrels in the next couple of years.
Our favorite things here in Michigan. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. Let's go to Alyssa in Livonia. Alyssa, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is such a great conversation, and your guest is fabulous as far as educating everybody. The things I was talking about to your screener was that, I think it needs, I hope that this isn't just give all these departments a big lump sum right now and, one thing and it's done. It would be nice if it was like a long-term investment and, keeping the roads good, not just fixing them once, but keeping them, financed. And, I'm a real strong proponent. I'm a social worker for mental health and especially for children and elderly. So, just different areas that might be lacking right now. Of course, education is always a need. And, and the cities have lost a lot of funding and colleges. So I don't know. I just think it should be really smartly done. And it sounds like it's a good proposal. I just would like it on a longer term and maybe even invest some of it so we have it in a, just in case we're out.
Yeah, that's that was going to be my question to you, Alyssa. Would you take some of that money and do some different things with it rather than spend it?
I think it's important. I mean, it is important to me to have a savings. And so I think, it makes sense for our government too, because you never know what could happen down the road, And it's just nice to have that, just in case money.
Yeah. Alyssa, appreciate the call and the comments. Zach, that is one of the tensions here, I guess, with the governor's plans is she's spending an awful lot of this money. People might think she should invest it. And then, the other dimension of Alyssa's comments is how much of this will be, will be kind of transformative and not one-time spending.
Well, on the last question, the state's budget staff told us that what they believe to be the ongoing increase in revenues, meaning like this is what we can look for from year to year, is about $600 to $700 million. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of money, but relative to what the overall run-up in revenues is, it's a relatively small amount. So that's why so much of this is being classified as one time in nature, you know, whether that's the governor wanting to put $500 million more into this new economic incentive package that was used to recruit the new GM electric vehicle plants. That's a one-time thing. I mentioned the $1 billion for school infrastructure, another one-time thing. So, that's why they're not saying, hey, we're raising state employee salaries by 30%, because, you know, that would be the kind of thing you couldn't just do one time, mm-hmm. for example. So in terms of the savings aspect of it, there is a small deposit the governor proposes to the state's budget stabilization or rainy day fund. This is the fund that's used when we go into an economic downturn and revenues fall. That would bring the fund to $1.5 billion in absolute dollars. That would be a record. You adjust for inflation, it was a little higher in the late 90s, early 2000s. I would imagine the Republicans will likely want to put more into that, and I'm sure the governor recognizes that's going to be part of it. The state hasn't been able to get back to a AAA bond rating since, I believe, the end of the Engler administration. Once the 2001 recession hit, it was lost. But that would be a nice feather in the state's cap if it could get that AAA bond rating again, which a healthy rainy day fund is a big factor in.
Yeah. Okay, Zach Gorchow, it's always great to have you here on Detroit Today. And again, wonderful work this week, really digging into and explaining this whole budget proposal. I thought, again, that there was not another news organization that did a better job. So kudos for that. And again, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for those kind words, Stephen, and thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to come back in a minute, and we're going to talk about, for the first time, the city of Detroit having an official historian who specializes in Black history. I'm going to talk with my friend Jamon Jordan next about his new job, and we'll bust some myths about African-American history in Michigan and elsewhere. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.